Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're just tuning in, this is Lara Marie Shainhalls, and I am the producer, editor, host, creator of Sexy Unique Podcast, a podcast where I talk about Vanderpump Rules and what it means to life on this planet. And it's good because I do it, but it's also good because I have people on Patreon who pledge their support to this podcast in a monetary form. And they have made it possible for you to be here today listening to this specific episode. So you know what? If you want to take a moment and thank them, you totally can. It's up to you. But like, I just want you to know that they are the ones. So that being said, thank you to all my beautiful patrons and all my readers of this podcast. And if you want to get involved and you hear this episode of Sexy Unique Podcast and you're like, wow, this woman voiced everything about Vanderpump Rules that I thought was just like so specific to me and my friends, but like is a universal truth about the world. And I would love nothing more than to like help this podcast exist and thrive. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find all the information you need to become a supporter of SUP. And for as little as a $1 per episode pledge, you will have access to so many bonus episodes, so many throwback episodes covering past seasons of Vanderpump Rules that have never been released to the public, and more. So think about like what life means to you and check out patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast to see what life means to me. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shainhalls.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, here we both win. Hotel chillin'.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Lara, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. back by popular demand, I must say. It's the one and only Tierney Finster.
Yay. Thank you. I'm glad you saw my likes of any comments suggesting I return to the podcast. I kept careful.
I'm in the business of giving the people what they want.
Thank you for wanting me. I definitely wanted to be back.
Yeah, you're an essential part of this podcast and like the Vanderpump Rules like viewing experience.
Yeah, and I had a chance to get in the game with them since I've last been on. So
did you?
Well I've had encounters.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was called an insult by a cast member, but I don't want to jump any guns.
Oh, yeah. We won't jump the gun. We'll get
just
to it.
Just saying.
All in good time.
I've earned my due.
You have earned your due. Because we did. I forgot. It's been so long. So much has happened.
Cunt. What's it called?
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
We should call it what it is.
We hit up cunt.
Cunt. Yeah.
The premiere party in LA.
Yes, definitely.
A very VIP affair.
It was short-lived, but...
I know.
Super sweet.
It was great. And it was there that James and Billie Lee had some words for you.
Yeah.
Well, or did Billie Lee, she mostly was like...
She was sort of part... She was an accessory.
Yeah.
And it began with a loving, joyous relationship with James. He was encouraging me to dance and film and gave me even a little bit of compliments. And mm-hmm. then... We took a photo together and he wanted weed and my friend had the joint. So he gave it to, I asked, you know, for it. We all hit it. James keeps it for a long time. Billie Lee had already walked by us leaving the party outside and got into her Lyft with like some partner who I won't describe in any more detail. And then James knocked on the window while carrying the joint and like gave it to her and was saying famous shit.
Wow.
As to... really, you know, be famous rebels and smoke the joint in the Lyft and also to like take it from me. And then anyway, we were making kind of a joke to him like, well, he wanted to keep the joint. I wanted Nico to take it back because he's not a fan of the show, doesn't know much about the program. There was a lot left, honey. Just get your weed, whatever.
Yeah, he was being generous.
Exactly. And then like I got in the car and he's screaming that we were peasants and spit on the car.
And I didn't realize he spit on the car.
Yeah, and before he did that, I had made a joke being a little tipsy. Well, I would make this joke anytime, but because it's just fact of life that I have a lot of weed influencer, like, you know, abilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was like, babe, we'd be happy to provide you more product through some of our favorite partnered brands, but you got to just give him back the joint right then. And he was like, yeah, right. If you were, you wouldn't be trying to collect this joint. And I felt like going to the Disneyland, like going to Disneyland and then getting to stay in the hotel and having breakfast with the characters in the morning.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that because, like, in reality, getting called a peasant or being, you know, mocked for your, like, inability to fork over the weed would be bad. And for Nico, it was just sort of neutral bad. But for me, it was sort of a delightful neutral. You know what I mean?
It's a rite of passage.
What else would James Kennedy be up to?
It's like you took the picture with Goofy.
Exactly.
And like got
and
Minnie Mouse's autograph. Yeah.
Yeah. Like signs. Sheena Marie and her mom, who I was thinking is like.
Her favorite sidekick is Erica.
Dude, she is the Kimmy to Sheena's Anna Nicole Smith. Like cousin Kimmy.
Yeah.
I was loving that she was there that night. That felt special.
That was special. And Sheena looked great that night.
And Sheena was really cool, I gotta say. Like, I mean, is Sheena really cool in general?
That shocked me.
Who knows? But she felt very warm and like, I don't dare I say grounded in comparison to what I see play out on the show.
I was at Tom Tom a couple weekends ago and Sheena came in very briefly and she spoke with Tom and Ariana I was sitting at the same table as they were. And Sheena had just, I think, either come from or was going to Reseda.
And oh, my God.
And I was like, dude, this feels so right.
I was so excited just to see the Valley in this week's episode in Studio City. But if I actually got to catch one of the Vanderpump cast in Reseda, a favorite suburb, it would be so special to me.
I feel like if you stick around the Valley long enough, years from
Someone's
now, they'll
gonna,
be there. Yeah, they'll eventually
I plan to,
end up
so.
There. Yeah.
Lucky me. I mean, I'm surprised, like, one of them doesn't have... If they were smart, they would already have a fucking house in the valley.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're WeHo babes at heart.
I've been to the apartment where they live. I tell Brian this. I tell my boyfriend as we're watching. I was like, Gino, well...
Oh, yeah, you have.
Do you know what I'm saying? I've not mm-hmm. been to their apartments, but to truly know the ins and outs of this sort of, like, wide oblong apartments in West Hollywood that they live in, just kind of like, yeah, it satisfies me. I like feeling so intimate to their experience, but it's also not an experience I would want.
No, it's like you get to live in the universe somewhat, mm-hmm. but like you don't have to deal with it.
And that's why when I'm like coming over to do this and I'm like on Melrose and see all these sort of stores or restaurants that I really just would never think to go to, New Hollywood, if you will, now I'm kind of interested in wondering like where they've gone or where they might be.
I know they're, but I feel like though they will always choose, like they've upgraded their restaurant choices, yes, yeah. but like they're still existing in some like restaurant neither world that I can't, like that I wouldn't go to,
yeah,
nor would anyone that I like trust their tastes go yeah. to.
And it's not even because it's like, at least in my experience, and I would even say ours, it's not like in a pretentious way. It's like they just go to weird places.
They like
do you
weird
know what
shit.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they have more money than me or anyone else I know right now.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, they could go to Sunset
well, that's why
Tower.
I don't know why they don't have a house in the valley.
No, yeah. And I'm like, I'm like,
they have this shitty
but they
ass apartment.
Still decide to go to, like, Mona Lisa or wherever the fuck
know.
They were going.
Dude, I kind of want to jump the gun, but they even had an old Hollywood night at somewhere that looked to be in Koreatown.
It was definitely, yeah, I think the clientele I noticed seemed like casual. Like they were all wearing like jeans and hoodies.
Yeah.
And then those,
I thought they were going
crew,
to Musso and Frank. I thought it was going to be like an actual, why not? You're already in Hollywood, babe. Why don't
well,
you stick to Hollywood?
Can you film
theme?
At Musso and Frank? Probably not.
True.
I know. So that's like, I give them credit for
they
that.
They
just
got to do what they can.
But it's like, you
how
would
about
not-
age out of a fucking theme then?
Yeah.
Go out.
Guess what? You can have girls' night and not dress up like some Shirley Temple hooker.
You know what I always say, but I used to think this was just about Britney, but it's about all of them, is that they're always, whenever they dress up, it looks like they're dressing for Christmas.
Yeah.
They love velvets and heavy sequins.
And a like dark lip.
Dark lips.
Lace.
And champagne color. Like the lightest color they use is champagne. It's just also wintry, God, for
it
Los
was
Angeles.
Really wintry.
But
I was like,
more
that
than just
was
yesterday
summer.
Or yeah. whenever. Yeah,
they should really take a page out of the Gaga handbook and start doing like slouchy menswear.
Ooh,
like they could really use like a little masculine.
Ariana's the
touch.
Only one that plays with stuff like that, and mm-hmm. sometimes it works out really good for her. And even in the old Hollywood motif, her like.
I appreciated
ass
her
revealing
like,
red look was
flamenco dancer, yeah. bordello blood
to
look.
To me, that was the masculine menswear.
When I saw the like ruffle on her sleeve, that's made
I
me appreciate
really
it more.
Yeah, she's doing Cher.
Yeah, I was shocked.
They all just look. I'm obsessed with how
they look like. Yeah, they look like how I. used to get dressed up when
winter
I would have
formal.
To go to my dad's office Christmas party.
Yeah, that's
like put a barrette in my hair.
Crushed velvet, like weirdly silver and fake diamond tiara, like barrettes.
Raquel looked kind of hip. She looked a little more hip.
Yeah, but she came in with that jean jacket.
The
okay.
jean jacket was downplaying
Raquel's
her glam.
Eyelashes. Make her seem as though she's perpetually rolling on ecstasy.
She probably is.
Maybe that's why she's so forgiving.
She's so forgiving and so just like wide-eyed.
And I don't say this to like, I'm not definitely not mocking how any of them specifically look per se. I'm just loving an analysis of beauty trends, beauty styles, presentations. And I think for people with as many resources and sponsored services as them, they have just crazy weird taste.
They have really bizarre taste, but I love seeing it play out. And I
yeah,
like,
and
like,
you know,
I enjoy
go back and forth.
Yeah. And you know what? They're on a public platform, and this podcast, it's our job to say what
honey,
we feel.
Honey, you serve the look. and I evaluate it. Yeah. I would love to do makeup with any of the Vanderpump Girls. So
that sounds like a good deal. And I feel like they could really benefit from some of that. Especially Katie, because her lip liner was really, it was actually killing my soul. It took me out of the scene.
One time I thought that I was too harsh about Katie talking about the lipstick choices and stuff. I think the first time you invited me on this podcast, and I no longer regret any of that. Yeah, because it's just like the mixture of the accessorizing, the lip color, and the pointed, serious voice when really, you know, like when they're during that whole girls' night, I feel like she gets into like this very,
I'm like,
disciplinary tone. Yeah. That is both a hushed, weird thing, and I just cannot. Honestly, this was one of the worst episodes of Vanderpump Rules I ever watched.
This is actually, I agree. It was maybe the worst episode of Vanderpump Rules I've ever seen. At the end of it, I found myself filled with rage. Yeah. I was like, how dare you put me through this?
I know.
How dare you? I've given you so much.
Exactly.
We've all given you so much.
And there's this so is much magic at play.
Yeah, there's so much they could be doing other than what they, the bullshit that was that pulled in this episode. And that's going to be dragged out
the
now
whole fucking
for
time.
Like, for at least like three more episodes.
I mean thank God TomTom opened so that we have something to look. I haven't been there yet, so I'm gonna see it on the show. And
I know, but this was like, it truly, this episode had such an overly produced feel, and like just
it was absolutely
every scene
horrible.
Was like, I felt tortured by the end.
What I noted as like the jumping shark moment for me was seeing Raquel be taken seriously in the testimonial and have really be given a platform and a voice in a more significant way.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most offensive moment of it to me, because Raquel is somebody who last season was actually one of the best little gifts of the show. She's like a Dogberry Shakespearean lighthearted joy, jester, clueless.
She's like the cherry on top of like a delicious hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
I don't want a bowl full of cherries.
Much sweeter than the other element. Yeah.
Like, I just want the one cherry.
Exactly. I cannot deal with really having to hear her contextualize reality, because she's frankly not existing in it.
No.
And I mean, I'm into her doing Pilates in Saratoga, wherever the hell is Pleasantville or like. Where does she live? But I don't know. I'm into some of the aspects of her life, but I just feel really sickened at seeing how she's being incorporated.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think for me, the jumping the shark moment was including like Teddy from Real Housewives with her plea to like hire her brother.
I got excited there.
I did. I was kind of excited, but I was also just like, God, like,
there's so many people.
Yeah, there's so many people in this world. Like, do we really need to pretend that a Mellencamp offspring is hard up for cash and needs a job at Sir?
I mean, it's just ridiculous, because what I can't wait to see is who this brother is. Like, why do you want to do this, bruh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess why
are you trying
you
to launch
to? But yeah, what are you trying to launch?
He's like, I really like this restaurant. What if I work
no
here?
One in there also no one in their fucking right mind would apply for a job at Sir at this point.
There's a lot of nice restaurants in LA.
There's a lot. You could even apply
you
for
make
one
a lot
at
of
pump,
money. Yeah.
At dump. Dump. At pump. That is, I'm going to start calling
at dump.
Pump dump.
Pump's a dump.
Sir is now like blur to me, and pump is dump.
TomTom.
TomTom's still cool.
Nom nom.
Yeah, nom nom. I love it there. I've been there 7 times, about to go an 8th. Like, yeah. I stan. Okay, so let's get into this episode. Uh-huh. It begins on a really high note with James taking to the streets of West Hollywood.
I'm a star.
He's not wrong.
No, I was like, cool.
He is a star. He's compelling.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But he crosses a major line and he body shames Katie.
I love how you act like you coincidentally invited me on here. Just like you coincidentally invited me on when Jax watched BBW porn.
I
she wants
about that
me to
too.
Bring my body like, politics
Tini's
here.
Tini's going to think that I'm doing the, like some calculated move
I'm
to
honored.
Get into body. But you know what?
I'm
the
honored.
Universe is bringing us
is
together
manifesting
to,
this.
To discuss these important issues.
And to literally cultivate truth.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was horrible. I mean,
that's not okay to say to anyone.
Of course not.
But I'm also like, I really Katie have an all. Eye roll.
The Katie of it all.
Of like Katie being the like body positive one just because she's like 10 pounds heavier than the other girls.
Yeah. And it's like, it's really hard to judge anyone's experience of that. But we obviously know that the women on the show prefer to be skinny. They enforce all sorts of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Words like, it's so funny because even when you brought up Teddy Mellencamp, I was thinking how, like, I don't believe in diet culture or, like, diet narratives, especially on social media where mm-hmm. so much bullshit gets propagated as, like, helpful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Services or whatever, elixirs. But then I also low-key want Teddy Mellencamp to keep me accountable. I'm like, what magazine can pay for me to
to hire
as
Teddy?
As if it's like the 60s and I'm going to be on assignment for life with
I love
Teddy Mellencamp.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and also she's part of it too because she's like, she used to be a lot heavier. Now she's skinny.
Teddy
so,
did?
Yeah. She was like,
oh, I didn't know that.
She was almost
her.
100 pounds heavier. So that's Whoa, like, it's pretty okay. interesting. Everybody loves to see somebody that's truly ripped.
Yeah.
Like actually be fat before.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's off topic, but just like all of these people's body politics are so murky that for anybody to take the position, you know what I mean? Of like,
yeah. And I just like, I get like, I've been like called fat by someone before and yeah. it sucks. It like sent me into a spiral and it was like a whole thing. And I don't think that that's right for him to do that. I think that's really disrespectful, but I'm just like, something about Katie being like the face of like body, like positivity just like makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't feel authentic to me.
Well, she just wants James fired.
Yeah. Everyone just wants James yeah. fired.
And I mean, I do.
They're kind of like jealous haters.
Oh, they definitely are. Okay. I mean, I do think that like in a workplace setting,
you shouldn't say that kind of stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
I've definitely been called fat by a million strangers on the internet or like, I don't know. In a kid way, probably, but like, could you imagine somebody at work really? Do you know what I mean?
You're like, hey, clocking into your like yeah. office job, and then someone's like what you shouldn't wear those shorts, darling, and yeah. so flattering, and flicking their cigarette
but,
at
like,
you.
That is so real because I'm sure plenty of fucking people have thought that about me, especially walking into like large offices where I don't know. I'm there doing something a little bit more creative than everyone else.
Yeah.
Lucky me. But
like
that's
saying
the
that and thinking it are two different
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, totally. So that's why. But I mean, you think you people who have insecurities think people are thinking that kind of stuff all the time. So for Katie, it is like a huge, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure a huge fear realized or whatever, but I did think it was fun to have Tom with the opportunity to like
stand up for his woman.
Yeah.
Take a stand
for once. Everyone's yeah. always calling him a pussy and stuff. So funny. I mean, I thought it was hilarious how he approached James, but James didn't actually mimic the call and response Tom wanted, which was Katie's not fat. She's sexy
and
luscious.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
He goes, say it. And then James is just silent for like 10 seconds. And he goes, she's beautiful.
He's like, I know.
But and also,
it
like,
feels like a loss when you don't get the person to say it.
Yeah.
When you say, say it.
When you say it and they don't say it.
You better
and then,
make them say
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, then it's up to you then to like.
Enforce.
Yeah. And then if you just walk away, it's almost like, what was the point?
I could easily get James to me.
Oh,
to
you
say
could.
It.
For sure. We both could.
I know.
Like, Tom, like, I just have a problem too with like, it's like, okay, well, Tom Schwartz is now going to step into this role of like, he's standing up for his wife and like, he's really learned his lesson. And I'm just like, eye roll at that too.
It's also eye roll. And this isn't something that is extremely emphasized in the show. It like, compared to other things, it could be, have been exploited more, but it's also always the eye roll when we're supposed to like, clap men for celebrating their not size zero wife or girlfriend. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that was a very like that meme that went around
with the like,
it was like, I love my
curvy
girlfriend.
Wife, yeah.
Or like, I love my curvy wife. And it's like, Okay. Great. You can just be like, don't talk to my wife like that.
Tons of people want to fuck everybody.
Yeah. There's someone.
That's my truth. Babe.
There's someone for everyone.
Yeah. But also, even beyond that, there's a ton of people who want women with all sorts of bodies. And that's just like a cultural myth that we don't allow, especially on television and in shows. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's hilarious. And that's part of this, like, why Katie's feeling a sort of feminist, you know, positioning from it all, too, because she's an example of, like, she wants to be the curvy wife. I think it is probably an anxiety relieving approach to doing the show, where instead of having to feel constantly in conflict about being insecure or feeling fat.
Mm-hmm.
And literally last year we already had, oh, what's his name? Bobby Lee, right? Or
oh, yeah.
Like, call her fat.
Kevin
too.
Lee.
Kevin Lee. Sorry. Bobby Trendy.
You're thinking Kevin of Bobby Trendy and Kevin Lee, who are like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I mean, the flamboyancy of their design taste. So
yeah.
It's confusing. I'm glad we got to mention so many.
I love like a doppelganger so situation where it's like you're so specific, but then there's like another one of you that's like exactly like
I would
the
love
same
to meet
vibe.
The other me. Yeah.
Yeah, same. I'm looking to meet the other me.
Gemini, you have one out there.
Also, like, I kind of call bullshit on like fat still being like a bad word.
You think?
Kind of. Like, I mean,
but you
it
know
has
the way
negative,
he's saying it is
well, yeah,
bad.
The way he's saying it is, like, meant to be, like, an insult. Bad. But I'm just like, how do you, like, reclaim that and or take, like, the power out of it or something
yeah.
like that?
I mean, I don't really know. Like, I don't – I think I use the word fat, but I don't, like – it's not to say – I don't think I've really stripped emotion from it either, though. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like – I don't wear, but it's also part of the culture in which we live where when we do take certain powers out of certain things, we immediately like commercialize and commodify it to be something lame.
Yeah.
So it's like,
to be like an Instagram
do I use
cause.
Fat as a word, as a descriptor about myself more regularly now than ever before? Yes. Do mm-hmm. I feel like chill and like just descriptive about that or whatever? Sure. But like it, to me the reason I feel I don't know, there's so many shirts that are like fat babe, just like Katie's feminist shirt, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then sort of like it makes me feel alienated from the word just as I wanted to be alienated from it before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, totally.
For a whole different reason.
I can't really imagine anyone would love to like rock a fat babe shirt.
But there's tons. And that is like part of like what you're saying though is like, oh, should we reclaim it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm just interested in like what like that process even looks like or what it would be. Cause I can't, like I don't.
But I think you also have a different relationship to it because you are being like you've been called fat. You've been, you know, most yeah. women of all sizes have some sort of fat shaming experience. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's a little bit less of a solidified identity when you know that it's a perspective or emotional type thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. know that you're not fat or yeah. like never really have been fat, mm-hmm. right? But it doesn't mean that you're not made to feel fat or whatever.
Yeah, or so, have negative connotations that go even beyond like what the word fat means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's also body, like to put a little bow on the whole Katie thing, it's like when you talk about her as being an interesting voice of body positivity, there's a lot of critiques of, oh, who gets to have this conversation, and we don't want to call anybody out of the conversation. We want to call people into it, mm-hmm. which I do believe in. But at the same time, so many of the people who get to be the best, most successful, lucrative, monetizing body positivity advocates are like Katie, a size 10 or 12. Like Katie's not a 14. You know what I mean? Katie's yeah. not shopping in plus size stores. Do you no. know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like, chill, great, but I want to be a fat reality show sex symbol already, and then I should be able to get to have the body positivity storyline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's very telling. Like, Lisa does not employ anyone that would be considered
no.
fat. Like, there is no one, like, on the show no. or in any of her restaurants that would, like, qualify under that.
Exactly. And also, I mean, the thing with Katie that we all want to allow growth, as we should. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when reality shows, even as produced or manufactured at times as they are, like documents of real experience to some degree. So sure, have we seen all these characters have some degree of emotional like development over these years, sure, but I think it is so minimal in some cases that it just sort of feels disingenuous when we have people who have definitely propagated like super pro skinny, you know, very narrow standards of beauty. Stassi was, you know, mocking Jax for watching BBW porn, whatever. It's just all hilarious. Like, that this is, and this is something that has kept me as somebody who is largely a politicized person, like, from even really addressing ideas of fatness in a sociocultural way like this, because it seems like that oftentimes, even though there are things like fat people earn less money or fat people are perceived as lazy and unsexual and unhappy and all these negative things that aren't necessarily true, it's like it's a social experience or like category that doesn't have the same kind of repercussions or vulnerabilities as so many other identities. So it's like I see how people, especially like sup people, are you know, calling out the show also for not actually having much actual queer representation, for being a WeHo pride, you know, aligned show. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, it's very safe for like a size 10 white girl who has been called fat to be the voice of Me Too, Time's Up, body positivity, all in two episodes on this show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. So Katie's now just like trying to be like the woke princess,
Gloria Steinem, yeah.
Gloria Steinem of Vanderpump Rules, and I remain.
And that's why she uses that tone I was speaking.
It is
about
her serious, like,
it's
woke
tone.
She was
an actor.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So she's like
a performer. Yeah, she's being. Yeah, she does like have more of a confidence when it comes to her vocabulary now, because you remember like drunk Katie used to always like misspeak or say like the wrong word, and now she's using like big words like derogatory and misogynistic, and like she does it like she says them over and over because she's had to teach them to herself.
Exactly, we hear it,
but like we get it, like let's move on. You fucking narc.
Katie, if you want to do a nude body positive shoot with me, I'm here for it. If you want to really show the world what body positivity means.
I love that.
Let's get in combo.
Body positivity challenge.
Laura might think you're a faker, but challenge.
James says that he was having the best day ever, sir, and then it turned into the worst day of his fucking life.
What did he say? He was saying something so funny to me. Like, he was being like, boom, boom, boom. It was like, boom, boom,
boom.
Boom,
boom, boom. I had the best day ever.
And then it was the worst day.
Then it was the worst day. And Raquel, frankly, she doesn't know what to believe.
Oh my God, she needs more proof. I was like, what does she need? The condom? Like, what does she want? Yeah. Videos? Like, does she want the tape that, like,
but wouldn't
Jackson face style?
Be like a ton of text messages? Like, I don't think anyone's.
What
like,
proof do you need besides everybody telling you something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she even cares.
She's
really.
Like, I think they were coming for me more than you, to James the next day, when it's like, and what situation do you think people telling you that your boyfriend who you just moved in with and probably do a bunch of weird, like, I could see her like secretly paying for a bunch of shit, or I don't know, just like supporting him in some way.
I think it's like,
even if
she serves an emotional support and maybe like a beard in some cases, or like something to distract from like the Logan storyline that happened last season.
Totally.
And like, she's very like pretty and like, you know, she's like a confirmation of his like sexual prowess and masculinity.
Well, she said, bottom line, I want to be with James. Like, she like heard it almost like, bottom line, I want to be with James, which is like,
okay. So it's like, there's not much you
that's
can do when someone comes at you with that argument. It's like Britney when she was like, I just love him and I want to be with him. And it's like, they don't care at the end of the day,
but
if they're dating a cheater or not.
Even. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think like the way we talk about Jackson Britney is so judgmental, clearly, as it should be, you know, as it evidences itself to be worthy of given the show. But the reality is, plenty of people have relationships that have huge things that have happened, or trust issues, or I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
people
and infidelities, like, that's not out of the norm by any means, but it's just the way that they handle it, where it's like all the lying and then like the disrespect that come that's like around all of that, that's more problematic than like actually sleeping with someone else.
Exactly. Just like how I think Raquel, it's really hard to I mean, I don't want to say respect her, but it wasn't just the cheating that was there for her to listen to. It was all of the ways that James was speaking, right? Which it's like, once again, as packaged by Katie for like this whole arc, whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm less interested in that, but I'm really interested in Raquel normalizing. Like, I was just laughing, like, next to my boyfriend, thinking, imagine if he was really just being, I was like, have you ever spoke like that? He's like, no, just like, this fucking whore. Like, ignore the fucking whore.
Tell that whore to shut the fuck up. It's like, whoa, you're so mad. But also, it's like, James, I think the bigger issue here is that James is like, has deep substance abuse problems and like crazy mommy issues. And like, that's why he hates women so much and like defaults to like whore, like body shaming. His mom
is like, he's like one of those people that thinks his mom is a whore for not being with his dad when his dad wasn't rich.
And we've seen like the mother son dynamic. Like, it's fucking one of the darkest things ever about Vanderpump Rules. So like,
and one of the sexiest.
It's both. And that would be such like a more interesting conversation to have than like posturing about these like other issues. Like, yes, they exist, but like, let's go deeper. Like, that's not who the fuck cares. I don't care that James like called.
Everything has been a repeat.
Yeah. It's just like, they're doing like what The Bachelor does or something, where they like recap a whole bunch of shit that happened in like the episode before. And I'm just like, let's move on. Where's the action?
Isn't somebody getting a tan or Botox?
Yeah, where's Lala this episode?
Right? What is with that?
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm just
something
like,
happened.
I would rather see them like shopping for swimsuits
I miss Lala.
Yeah. Lala was like the missing link of this episode. But also it's like, they could do any mundane activity. Like, I don't need them to have these like manufactured setup conversations. You can literally like hear a director calling like action, and then they like start speaking to each other. I'm just like, I'm irritated.
I mean, yeah, for me, Raquel, this episode was even worse than the 80s moment, the thing of last week.
Raquel goes, she's talking to Hope and she's like, he broke your heart like he does. She knows her man's a heartbreaker. And then she knows a really good line where she's like, I mean, I love Raquel. Like, she just got out of college. Sheena just loves like Raquel's youth and beauty.
I feel like I need to be the big sis. Like,
Sheena, no one looks up to you. Like,
what's it, this?
They're smug.
Once again, the makeup motif for Pride with this like weird glitter. David Bowie-esque, but not actually like applique on the eye.
This whole Pride.
And then also, I love when Hope was talking to Raquel right there, and she also modulates her voice to be like, I slept with him. We've been sleeping together for 3 years.
She's 3 years.
She sounds like an old smoker.
Raquel's like, can I talk to Hope alone? And then Kristen's standing there, and she's like, Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
I hate this.
And then they leave, and Kristen goes, be kind. Like, as though kindness is her number one prerogative in life. My
Kristen,
God. Kristen.
My dude.
Everyone needs to get a grip. It's also like Kristen's sober. She's sober. So she's going into like kind mom mode. She's sober on this day because she needed to be sober to like get Hope in the door.
Did you see how I stuck there? Like, yeah, whoa. Holy shit.
Happy to clear that up.
You're like, this day.
On this one day, she was sober. And then served up some nonsense.
I just don't get why we can't, as somebody that is truly so dramatic, I understand that maybe her relationship isn't in peril or something, but I feel like there must be interesting things. Like Dodie in the world, there's so many possible conflicts day to day. So why do we have to see this stupid shit? Like, we have to have her dragging herself into this this horrible rebound, toxic relationship from so long ago. And I just feel that she resents James so much for getting on the show by sleeping with her and then becoming the star of it.
Yeah, and like, I understand her urge to want to like take him down or make one man on this show like pay for their behavior, because they never are held up to the same standards as she was in season two. But it has to, at some level, be kind of like she's re-traumatizing herself every time she has to like confront James about something, or like even really like deal with him or connect her life to him.
I would rather see her getting drunk and cooking the dog's meat despite her vegetarianism.
Yeah, same. I'm like, I just want like a fly on the wall perspective of all of their lives. Like, I don't need this much like story. I want
the next 80s like fake packaging to be I Love Lucy, but Dodie and Carter.
Stassi is talking shit about James, and then he's right there. And
that was cool.
That was cool. And then throughout this whole Pride thing, and even like at different points in the episode, but specifically in Pride, Jesse Montana, Billy Lee, and Jeremy are lurking in every shot.
Yeah.
Like the three of them are just standing there, like waiting for their moment to like shine. It's very bizarre.
Hasn't come yet.
It hasn't come yet. And honey, if it hasn't come yet, it probably never will.
I would love to see Jeremy be a regular.
Would you rather have him be a regular than Raquel?
Yeah. Totally.
Same kind of.
Like, I really was thinking hard and long about how Jeremy could be used for some very interesting and irreverent plot lines that really like skewer masculinity, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead, he's just there with his top off all the time.
He's there with his top off and like a side pony.
He's like the epitome of like if I downloaded Tinder in West Hollywood, like straight West Hollywood Tinder.
Yeah, they're all the epitome of that. James starts screaming pump teeny at Jax, and then
wait, I love it
when he goes down that.
So funny. When he's like,
let me get a shot, pump teeny, and then tries to like pinch Jax's like shirt, and it's just like, oh, he's gone.
I love it too when he's like, my mate, a grapefruit and soda's grapefruit and soda, you fucking idiot.
I love him. And then he goes frolicking into the kitchen where Lisa is there and gives him
a stern
talking to. But then also,
how stern was it though?
Not stern, because then she just turns to Raquel and she's like, for the rest of the day you need to be in charge of his drinking, make sure he doesn't drink a sip. I'm sorry to put you in charge, but now you are. Get him under. And it's like, no one on the show like understands addiction or like any part of it.
I could not imagine, having seen James behave the way he did, that I was describing, not even colorfully as it actually was at the beginning of this, like during See You Next Tuesday, to imagine that being something that happened 1 to 3 or whatever times a week regularly for months this year. It totally exhausted and freaked me out about what's going on in production. Yeah. Like what's going on with everyone, because it was very erratic. It was just sickly behavior.
Yeah. That's the bigger conversation, is like, this person is seriously like, something is wrong. It's not like, oh, you're saying disrespectful things and that's the worst thing that's going on. It's like, you are like, you are using too many drugs and drinking too much, and you might need to like go to rehab or get sober, or like we need to have a serious conversation about like your drinking and drugging.
Film that.
Yeah. But like then, let's have an intervention. I would love an intervention episode.
The mom too, that's and the brothers, yeah, little brothers.
Everyone.
I mean, I just think it was interesting how Raquel was very adamant about not blaming it on drinking, and how I understood the reaction from Katie and other people there to be like, this isn't just about drinking because he's a misogynist or he's rude or, you know, otherwise too. But at the same time, I loved Brittany making a big issue of like not blaming the alcohol, because it was basically like, you know, drinking's fine. You know, like.
Brittany's like, we all get a little drunk sometimes.
She's like, we need to. I get it. But.
Brittany has just such an eloquence to her.
She's like, actually the best speaker on the show.
She's like, you got to admit, he's done some real shitty shit.
I love it.
She's really like leaning into her Southern roots more now than ever.
As she should, because she's like, I'm hot, I'm famous, I'm engaged.
Yeah, she's done it all.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Is Brittany the hero we never knew that we needed?
I feel Brittany has the most legs of anybody on the cast right now in terms of entertainment career prospects.
Wow, I love that.
That's the thing, yeah.
I don't know what to think of anyone, because I was so not entertained by this episode that I'm like, I'm giving up.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Brittany moving on to new crews and new groups and new presenter style fandom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. a lifestyle. She's a brand.
Yeah, I think she's successfully brand built potential. Her brand really quickly.
Tom Schwartz, the next day, is hungover, and it's just, like, really gross to me. I can't.
Wait, this was... Actually, this was the first episode I ever fell asleep during. It's true.
Yeah.
Like, it moved into a sexuality kind of phase, and then sleep for me mm-hmm. and my person next to me. And then we watched it yesterday, like, from the part that he had already finished it, but then made it, like, rewatch it. And I was like, hey... When we watched this scene, do you remember how it began a conversation about how neither of us really get very drunk with each other, like hardly ever, you mm-hmm. know, because he was basically being like, oh, you've never seen me really drunk. And I was like, yeah, I have, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, but I mean really drunk. And I was like, well, I hope I don't then. I mean, I don't know, a wedding, something like,
yeah,
sure. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that kind of drunk as somebody who I feel lucky that I get to have a fun relationship with drinking for someone that definitely like push things to the limit a lot as mm-hmm. a younger person. And anyway, so when we were rewatching that part, I was like, babe, I just want you to know this is what I never fucking want. Like, this to me is the ultimate depression. Like, I cannot.
Yeah. Just like laying there, just like wanting to eat like shitty food and just being like, buh, 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 buh,
sweatshirt. You know, you're yeah. hot. You're like, you're cold, but you're hot. The muumuu. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
That was I like that defaults to like a dress when he feels like weakened.
Exactly. And not that I don't think that there isn't, I believe you can celebrate life as much as you'd like at any time. You don't need to, I don't want to seem like, oh, I only think you can binge drink on weddings or birthdays or whatever, but it's just like, I think that like if I'm drinking to the point of developing a major hangover, I hope that I was having jubilant fun
mm-hmm.
and basically they were all just like talking shit with one another in gendered groups and the same, you know what I mean, it's just the same old, it's like,
yeah,
the like he's hungover like, is so the Vanderpump fun. way.
Yeah.
And I actually did, you know, holiday drinking vibes. I drank two nights in a row and I saw you in between that for just a minute, and like I felt so horrible for like 3 days after that experience. And then I was feeling I was just like, but that I was, this is how the Vanderpump people feel all the time. Like just like bumming around LA, like one breakfast burrito, one joint, one cocktail to the other.
Yeah. Like I could smell, I like it when I can smell the hangover on people.
Yeah.
But I didn't even enjoy like the hangover that he was serving. Cause it was just like, I felt like he was like being oppressive to me personally with like his neediness.
He's the actor. Or like maybe it was just real vivid emotion.
Katie tells Tom about James's antics and declares she's over the body shaming and the misogyny. And I just like mentally flash back to her like body shaming and slut shaming Lala when she got like topless in Hawaii. Anyways,
there it is. Whoop, there it is.
James and Raquel are building a coffee table or a side table of some sort.
Ew.
And their dog is so cute.
Wait, it's super cute, but how disgusting when they're talking about how the dog's really hyper with that whole environment and then the hyper dog, you know, it's just so chaotic.
They're like, their apartment, like their whole aesthetic with this dog is just like, it's like what VR, being like in a VR experience.
Yeah, it's Sims.
Like it's not like the good old days when like Tom and Kristen were stuck in that shithole apartment and he's like struggling to build like a $50 coffee table from IKEA. Yeah, where he still resides.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't he get where's the, like, the valley?
Where's the fucking like raw? There's like, that's what this is
because
missing.
They're fake.
Yeah.
They're on amphetamines and lash extensions and like, I don't know.
I like the dog like treating Raquel like she's like a human chew toy because she like is
she's
a human
like,
chew. He's like,
sometimes he gets confused if I'm a real dog or not.
And James says that Hope is lying and they only had sex 2.5 years ago before Raquel lie.
She was always around.
And Raquel's like, if you cheated on me, I just want you to tell me. And he's like, totally. And then that's the conversation that they have about that.
Totally.
And Peter calls to disinvite James.
What low
birthday.
Stakes is that?
Which Peter, you know, is like so excited that he
gets to do that.
One line. He gets like, I think I heard through the grapevine that the cast only gets paid in episodes that they actually like show up and speak in. So Peter's like excited to have one paycheck this season for being on a show.
We didn't even see him. We just heard him.
Yeah. But then later we see him at his birthday. His he gets one line at the birthday and then like one line later on.
I was really enjoying that. And I mean, I know that's your collaborator, Peter, but I was just feeling
my writing partner.
I was like, what stakes could be lower than being disinvited to this party?
Peter Madrigal's birth and Carter, the two literal snooze fests of the show.
Carter, what is his deal? If he had any ounce of personality, they would film it. So.
Yeah, he is just like an avatar. He's like a hologram person.
He's kind of cute, but...
But like, he's just like nothing.
Not as, at least as far as we know.
So James is not even really like that upset. But then Raquel goes, actions have consequences.
I'm like,
because you're drinking, bad things are going to happen.
I hate the way she speaks and you're doing it so well.
She wants James to stop drinking completely.
Yeah.
Not even a sip of alcohol.
I watched Raquel being live on Instagram making gingerbread houses.
Oh my God.
And a lot of people were commenting, you're stoned, Raquel.
Did she address the rumors? No.
But so many people were saying it, and I was just loving it as though that was something worth commenting, like, repeatedly. Like, it was such juicy gossip that Raquel smokes weed.
Raquel blazes 24/7, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I love being on a reality show as like saucy as Vanderpump Rules. Uh-huh. And then like in your Instagram like lives, you do like really innocent like baby things, like
story
build gingerbread houses and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a kind of balance I definitely seek.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Meanwhile, at Sir, Peter has his other line in the show, which is just to act as like a hype man for Vanderpump Rosé.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
This moment.
My God. I'm obsessed with that moment.
He holds up the bottle. He's like, and this is what everyone really likes. And then like Vanderpump's shows the label like to the camera, uh-huh. Essentially.
And she's like, it's like nectar.
It's the nectar of the gods. And it's like, okay,
to call it nectar so casually.
It's so gross. The word nectar is disgusting to me.
I like how you have this, like, nectar.
Nectar.
It sounds like necker.
Necker. Nectar.
Nectar.
It's kind of an ASMR.
Yeah, I like it. But
thinking of nectar feels like
having a commercial built into your reality show that's already a commercial for your restaurants, great.
I mean, it's run of the mill.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, you could just try and do that like a little less explicitly.
No, they could have been drinking it with Teddy.
Yeah.
There could have been.
Do you want alcohol? And Teddy's like, no, just tea for me.
I like how this season is noticeable how, and I don't want to say I like it because it's unfortunate circumstances, but it's interesting how as Lisa basically backs out of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that she is including more of her personal life, specifically the arc with her having to deal with the aftermath of her brother's suicide. Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing that play out more on this show. Like, I feel like in seasons past, there wouldn't have been more than one.
She doesn't talk about her personal life on Vanderpump Rules. It's always like she's there to comment on other people's personal lives,
exactly.
Or like mix shit up with them. But now we're having to see her like trot out her various alliances on this show.
Yeah.
And get into her personal stuff, which, like, I mean, I have a lot of empathy for her, like in the brother situation sounds awful, but also it's like, I didn't come here to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's why I bring it up, because I am a Real Housewives person. So I was pleased to see Teddy and see more of Lisa, but it's like, this isn't really what this is.
No, this isn't what
this
show.
But she is what she wants it to be.
Yeah.
As Lisa
tweeted. I mean,
as
the EP, she gets to call the shots.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, someone needs to be like fired or demoted, because something is just like not adding up.
They're on their high horse.
They're on their real high horse.
I know that you wanted to sleep with Sandoval's dad.
Yeah.
Aww, you like him.
I love him. I have him in my notes. Sandoval's dad is hot.
I sure know you.
You do know me. Everyone gathers at the Belmont.
Oh.
For the birthday of a lifetime.
As if.
Literally like 7 people show up to celebrate the lives of both Peter and Carter.
It's also like, why don't you just try having separate parties?
I mean, it's just like an excuse. I love them going to this party to then not film anyone that the party's about. That's like, we're here to film, like, Sheena and Adam show up and they're like dating, whatever, snooze.
Yeah, but then it's even more of a snooze that they don't even, like, they do address it because Brittany addresses it, but they didn't really give us the Sheena bit about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Which is just pretty juicy. Like, typically, if a new relationship is being visualized, we're going to get commentary on it. And so I thought it was sort of strange that only Brittany voiced that.
Yeah. And, like, we didn't get anything from Sheena being like, well, things with Rob didn't go well, but now I'm single.
I pledged to be single, I know, but yeah. Sometimes life grabs you fast.
It's weird. It's like we're focusing way too much on this, like, James and Raquel shit. And it's like, okay, well, that storyline has been wrapped up. Raquel doesn't care. So it, like, doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks.
You all seem like crazy codependent, like, trauma bonded freaks.
Yeah.
Like,
let's talk about Sheena and Adam.
Yeah.
Now we're going to cut to Sheena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or let's talk about Sandoval's dad and, like, have him, like, focus more on him. Like, I am so done with, like,
the bullshit.
The bullshit.
Give us a story.
Katie's feminist shirt made me want to die.
Especially because it was branded as a rock tee.
It's a rock. Feminist on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, like, really fucking with my personal aesthetic.
She got that on tour.
Kristen showed up with, like, a ton of balloons, which felt like a really insane thing to do.
When you show up with the person, yeah, it is.
She showed up maybe, yeah, and it was like, then I like that they also incorporated that one Sweet Lady Jane cake that, like, everyone's had.
Exactly. I was seeing the box and thinking, actually happy that they had something good.
Yeah. And then Sheena, what I did like, though, is watching Sheena interact with Stassi, because she's still so terrified of her after all these years. No. It's just like she can't even, like, talk in coherent sentences.
I could not believe, I felt, like, so disappointed with where their conversation was at. And, like, also Sheena's testimonial of being like, yeah, am I worried that Ariana and Stassi are talking shit about me? Yeah, I am. Now that they're friends, I don't really know where I stand. It's like, isn't she, like, 33 years old? I mean, I just don't get.
Yeah.
How could you not know where you stand?
Also, I have to say and point out that, like, everyone is freaking out about the antics of a 26-year-old. And they're all, like, in their mid-30s.
But I also want to point out that I'm the same age as James and was thinking, really feeling myself, feeling like very not adult baby, as I sometimes feel.
Yeah. Well, you have, like, you're pretty mature.
I'm not a mup. I mean, to literally pander for compliments about how different I am than James Canopy for our age is like a bravo. New low. But, like, feels pretty good.
Yeah. No, and I'm like, okay, if my friends and I,
but that's, like, part of the logic of the show being challenged, right?
Yeah. Like, that doesn't, like, it doesn't matter what he says. Like, because he's going to say whatever and do whatever. And it's just like, okay, this person's fucking nuts. Like, who cares?
Why don't they go have a life so we can film it and watch it? Like, yeah. It just feels like, but I wonder, and that's why I said, oh, I can't wait for TomTom to open, because even though it'll be, you know, it's at least that's something that's like a fun development in the lives of people we've seen versus repeating a, like, side character's side drama that we've been knowing because he's been cheating. Like,
yeah. And then Sheena, I can't help but notice that her chin feels very sculpted now.
Oh, yeah. Her skin and chin. She has more of a long, it's feeling like long right
it's
here.
It's long, but then it has like sculpted sides around, like, the bottom of it. It was interesting filler work.
She definitely looks new every season.
She does. She serves, like, she's like the Madonna of, like, facial.
She gives us facial realignment.
Yeah, facial reconstruction.
Which is funny because Stassi, right before her conversation with Sheena, was saying, like, I don't wear bras, so I need to get a breast lift every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was just thinking, like, probably will then.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Let's film that.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that than this conversation.
Right? They all got so much work done. It's unfortunate that we don't get to see any of that. It's not
I know.
Fair.
It's really unfair.
But it's part of it becoming a more self-aware program where so much of this, like, juiciness was about the, like, just plainness of so much of their grooming, partying. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we really don't see a lot of that this season as of yet, 2 episodes.
I know. Peter tells Jax that he's back on the Sir schedule. Like,
I mean,
God.
Could we even pretend that was the whole thing?
Yeah. Like,
like, no.
That's, like, insulting.
Yeah.
Did one person at all watch this show and be like, oh my God, I hope that Jax gets his job back? He
there
needs
was
it.
Zero drama there.
No. The low stakes again. Then Ariana and Stassi decide they're going to join forces and have a joint birthday party.
Okay, my makeup low-key looks like some of their makeup right now from their party, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
you have like a frosty eye.
But mine is actually better, even though it is kind of like, I wanted to make fun of the makeup styles of Lala and different Vanderpump characters today. But then I was like, wow, I did my makeup kind of bad. But then looks kind of good and looks like their party makeup.
It's good. It's like a frosty.
I can't deal with them.
Yeah, it's too much. And like when they flash back to like Ariana not giving Stassi the time of day, I really miss those moments.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Because like if you watch it was the from voice season of one, yeah, like Stassi did always like Ariana and did totally. Always want to be friends with her. But Ariana was just like, you're a problematic, like,
you're a selfish, immature bitch.
Yeah, and I'm not here for it. But like now
Ariana's like, blondes have more fun.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get that. And I do kind of like them being friends.
I like them because they are kind of like shenanigans.
They are the two smartest.
And it's so funny when we say smarter, but I just mean literally capable of carrying a personality or storyline. Like that's why Raquel's part is feeling so bad to me, because it's like she cannot play.
No. She's not playful.
And like Katie kind of can barely play. Dodie only can play one part. But Ariana and Stassi are both more versatile.
Sheena needs to get on like anti-anxiety medication.
Doesn't she smoke a lot of weed? I don't get it.
She does, but like her entire like diatribe about like, are they, you know, are they talking shit about me? Like, do they care? And it's, I was like, calm
literally
down.
One of the most toxic feelings that I definitely have felt is using two friends' increased intimacy as occasion to question how they're going to conspire against you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, I feel like if you, the relationships we have, if you don't expect the best from them, even though things could happen where something doesn't, you know, whatever, if you don't expect the best from people, then you cannot actually have a relationship. So for her to really like, even because to me that's so disrespectful to Ariana, right? As someone, yeah, that really has been Sheena's friend pretty unwaveringly, I think,
for 7 years.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like Ariana's been better than she's had to be even. And so for Sheena, just because they're friends now, to instantly be like, and now I can't tell where I stand in Ariana's world, it's like, what?
But then Ariana reveals that they haven't even been hanging out that much, which is interesting, because I remember at the end of last season, I feel like a big thing that came up over and over on the podcast was like, why are they friends? Like, truly, what is the, like,
besides joining the show?
Yeah, besides joining the show and like having been friends for so long, like, what is the tie that binds them together? Because they seem so different from each other. It's just like, what is there?
Yeah.
So I guess maybe nothing. Katie's having a girls' night and Sheena is not invited.
Oh, I know. It's just like,
and it's just like, whatever.
Wait, I was really feeling like if I was Sheena and found out that Raquel was there and not me, that's a new low.
Yeah.
Why didn't little sis call and invite big sis?
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, what is Sheena's, like, I feel like Sheena's now being punished because she doesn't live in WeHo anymore.
Oh, really?
That's probably why she doesn't hang out with anyone, because she lives in Marina Del Rey.
Did she move there by herself?
Yeah.
That is so, like, South Bay of her in, like, a weird way.
It's weird. And I was listening to her podcast and, like, doing the podcast recap for one of the bonus episodes. Yeah. And it was when she announced that she had moved to Marina Del Rey. And she said that she moved there because she wanted to be closer to the airport.
Well, I did go to college at LMU with, mm-hmm, Stassi, mm-hmm, not at the same time, but and it was really close to the airport and it was pretty nice. I got out of town really quickly those times.
That's great. I wish her ease when it comes to travel.
Me too. Get those flights.
Artisan Cheese Gallery.
Studio City, Laurel and Ventura.
It's a great restaurant.
That's really my stomping grounds, Laura.
I know. That's right there.
I mean, I couldn't tell you the number of places I go right there all the time.
I love that stretch of Ventura.
Yeah.
I used to go to Artisan Cheese Gallery all the time. They have a great chopped salad. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of slightly heartbroken to see that it's now being infiltrated. Yeah. By Jackson Brittany.
It's funny because I haven't been there forever, but Yeah, I've been there for some cheese pickups, whatevs, platters with my aunts during the holidays. I never really was big on it there, but it's just a very iconic signage right there. And to know that, once again, they were so close to me and so far, it was pretty exciting, you know?
Yeah.
Something that I'm not going to get into now is I'm really grateful about how many Bravo celebrities I've encountered in the wild here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to will more Vanderpump versions, because I've been in plenty of situations with proper celebs and I really don't give that much of a fuck, or I would never document. But with these people, I just basically jump into their arms.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
That would be nice to have
it. I feel so comfortable.
Be just like living your life in the valley, and then all of a sudden Jax and Brittany show up do important business research.
I'm hungry, but something I like about going to amusement parks even more than going to them is just being able to eat like a jalapeno cheese stuffed pretzel or whatever. Like, I like barked kind of whatever. My grandma's from Kentucky, like Brittany, rest in peace. And so I'm just saying, it's shocking to me that I don't salivate for beer cheese more than I do. But I was waiting for the visual. I know they've talked about it before, but I thought that they were going to bring out like a steaming dip that looked pretty like decadent and bomb in a Super Bowl kind of way. And instead, they brought out, like, it looked like the fucking cold-pressed garlic all tight in the cold container.
It was like
container.
A Trader Joe's container of, like, cheese. It was a pre-packaged. It wasn't even, like, made
like
at the restaurant.
Yeah, it wasn't like the restaurant created it. No.
It was like they bought it and then took the top off,
and
peeled the plastic back.
Put
a bunch of carrots around. Like, they didn't even think, like, hey, we'll take it out of this and put it in, like, a little dipping bowl to make it look like it came from this restaurant.
Duh.
It was crazy.
It was really weird.
That was one of my favorite. That was maybe the highlight of the entire Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky show. Was the beer cheese moment where they just brought out a beer cheese from a grocery store at a restaurant.
It's so crazy.
So Jax and Brittany revealed that they're launching a beer cheese company called Mama's Beer Cheese.
And I told Mama, we're going to put you on a map. We're going to put you on the map.
So they have to do a bunch of market research, which that's where Artisan Cheese Gallery comes into play.
Why don't you just try a bunch of cheddar cheeses then? Why are you trying all these cheeses you know you're not going to use?
Yeah. Like, you're not going to buy some, like, expensive cheese and have that be the base for,
oh,
like,
this is the soul. I'm so sure.
Where is Mama's beer cheese going to be sold? Like, how does one buy that? Like, it's not going to be sold in, like, high-end cheese stores. It's not going to be sold at, like, Whole Foods. Is it just going to be sold at, like,
we don't want it there. It needs to be it could be at Ralph's.
It's going to be at, like, a regular grocery store.
And that's more money, honestly. But then it's not, because it's not necessarily more people buying it.
A beer cheese company.
I mean, it's definitely not, like, going the gastropub chic route of Tom Tom, but it could have fit into that kind of vibe. And I don't know if that's what they're trying to push by going to Artisan Cheese Gallery, but they're truly using, like, Kirkland extra sharp cheddar, which is fine, so just go use it.
But I'm just confused at, like, where they decided that there was, like, a gap in the marketplace that they needed to fill with beer cheese.
That's what I'm saying, though, about Brittany's extraordinary brand potential. She sees the way snack foods and Southerners.
What if she, like, gets, like, crazily rich off of this beer cheese company?
She would be suitable for a biopic.
Also, I feel like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why does Jax need to be involved in the beer cheese company at all?
Because she's using business as a way to maintain their partnership.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
But I'm like,
to act like she's
my feathers
money.
Are ruffled. Like, the businesswoman inside of me, it says, like, you need to cut him out of this partnership. Why should he get this money? You're the one that got raised on beer cheese this whole time. This is your recipe, your family.
Where he's like, you wouldn't be on the show and you wouldn't have followers if you didn't fuck me. So
I get a cut of the beer cheese.
Which, honestly, I'm fine with. I mean, not in terms of the language I use to describe the dynamic, but, like,
in the biopic, that's how it would that scene would go down. The biopic of Jax and Brittany building the beer cheese empire that eventually leads to, like, a courtroom showdown.
Do you know the movie She-Devil with Roseanne and Meryl Streep? For some reason, I'm just getting massive Brittany vibes as, like, she gets rich off the beer cheese and lives in like an estate like that in Kentucky where everything is. But this is all like kitsch camp dreams, because really these people have such horrible taste that you could never actually have such a full fun.
I know. Like, I
the
really
production
want,
design would have to be uglier.
Yeah. I need like Britney. I want to like, if we're going to have to deal with this as like the Vanderpump Rules that we're being served
universe,
for like
yeah.
the next like 24 episodes.
Wow.
I would like to be put into a coma yeah. and then woken up in like 10 years when Britney has like divorced Jax and made it like huge.
Yeah.
And then just like,
marries
let's live
a
in
country
that world.
Star, yeah, like, marries a football player.
And is like Kardashian level famous yeah. and has like brought a whole new sense of glam to the world.
Totally.
Like, I'm done with this like, just this like bullshit.
It's such a bullshit thing.
Jax God, thinks it's a great
undone.
Idea.
I know. Goes, him
who doesn't
reacting.
Want cheese?
I know. And I was laying there once again with Brian and he hates cheese. I'm thinking like, hella people, bro. Like,
lots of people don't. That's
do you know
true.
What I mean? It's such a vegan moment. People are lactose. People just don't. Some people don't like cheese.
There was though, when he said that, I was like, yeah, who doesn't love cheese?
I wanted it. I still wanted to try the gross one.
I know. I mean, the sad thing is like when I see this, like I know,
you know
I'm
we
gonna
would try
buy
it.
I'm
yeah.
going to buy the beer well, cheese, but I won't buy Jax's just add X.
Yeah.
I draw a line at like chemical mixers.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, that was so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did make me want to eat Taco Bell, though. Just their incessant marketing on Instagram for Taco Bell.
Yeah, I like thought about Taco Bell more than I had thought about it in a long
a while,
time
yeah.
when I saw that. Jax and Britney then proceed to have a psychotic conversation about the dynamic between James and Raquel, which is like their exact
it's
dynamic,
just,
which everyone, I guess,
just,
on this show suffers
just,
from like severe amnesia.
I mean, they should have cut it to be like a beautiful mirroring.
Yeah. Like literally, like
you
where
know?
That's the thing, too, is like, I think that is also a big problem I'm having with this season
yeah.
is it. In past seasons, we've gotten like those beautiful moments where the editors just like troll the
Have
hell
fun.
Out of them.
Exactly.
And like there was none of that in this episode. And there's been none of that really this season. Like where are the editor trolls?
Where's the humor?
Where's
mean?
The humor? Yeah.
Literally.
Where is the lol? Because I did
where's
not lol.
The entertainment?
The one lol I had was James going, I'm a star. I'm a star. I'm a star.
That's 0.3 seconds into the episode.
Yeah. And then the lols cease to exist. But Jax did have a good descriptive sentence about Raquel where he said, the mouse falls off the wheel sometimes.
Meaning that's her brain.
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about, her brain.
Meaning like she's a big old dum-dum.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. That was making me laugh.
That was good. Everyone goes to brunch at Sir, and it's a great day because James is just DJing, and Jax doesn't know how to make a vodka grapefruit. Because what's in it again? Vodka and grapefruit?
Soda? Water?
What? And then Schwartz gives James the talking to, and then James, he can't not troll, and then he goes, everyone's making this a big deal, bigger than her, about Katie, which
know,
that was a
that
good
was
one
funny. I mean, it's just like, at least James knows how to be on the show.
Yeah, he's
you know
playing
what I
mean? His role, the
play.
Role that they asked
they all
him
need
to play,
play. Like,
yeah,
it's not fun anymore. Like, I don't know, where was Lala? Maybe
Lala's like on a PJ with Rand.
She's fun.
She's fun and like silly and flirty.
Yeah.
And gets it. And everyone else is like, I mean, Sandoval's dad is fun and
he's
flirty
fun.
And
he
gets
parties,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, he's not even heavily featured in
Wait,
that.
Sandoval's hat?
Oh. That hat was not okay.
That hat was a circumference of unspeakable proportion. Like.
That hat, I just like
that was
now,
Joanne.
That was Joanne, his Joanne moment. He's like, take my hand. Kristen's hair in their girls' night is giving me a lot of feelings, like thoughts, emotions. She just like has a really tough time when it comes to her hair.
She has a tough time with it all.
That look, the whole look
I mean,
was not great.
The dress horrible. They look but
like
horrible.
A little ringlet curl Shirley yeah. Temple hair that is like cute. It's not the answer.
No, I mean it would be cute if it was actually that too. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like if imagine her with like proper texture or something. Yeah.
There, it was just like really.
Stassi looked good last night. I was there with them last night at the Belmont during girls night. Stassi looked really pretty because the truth is there are so many styles of makeup, and that's what I like about it, and that's why I do like to talk about their different styles. Is there's different approaches, or it's like, oh, you have super beauty blogger makeup, or you have just very natural, you know, eco makeup, whatever.
Yeah.
Stassi compared to all of the super Instagrammed out makeup styles, and then like Dodie and Katie's just sort of missteps. Stassi looked really, really pretty.
Yeah, she looked great.
Classic and like.
I mean, I didn't love any of their looks like that much, but I also was like, okay,
not the clothes. Yeah.
What are like? I would just wish that they would go to like a very nice, expensive restaurant. Like on Housewives of Beverly Hills, they eat out at nice places.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, yeah, like I named,
even if you'd gone to like Toca Madera in those outfits, it would have been a little bit better than like going somewhere where everyone else is like casual. And you guys thought it would be really fun to like get crazily dressed up and then like go out to like a sports bar. I'm just like yeah. unclear on like what's
what
fun
I mean.
About that.
It's like, I know I said Musso Frank, but you could just go a number of places in LA that have some sort of affiliation
with the theme.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
because I personally would not want to go through all the energy to get that dressed up to then go to a sports bar.
Hell no. I also think that like the way they looked, like I don't know. I want my own styling show.
I wish you would style them.
Gift, but
yeah. The guys are having a guys' night. Sandoval has his shaker. He goes, every guy behind the bar needs a special shaker.
It's like, he's so condescending.
He's condescending, but then there was a good shaker troll where he's like, don't touch that, man. And then, be careful, it's really expensive. And then he like shakes it and drops it.
Yeah. I like that too.
And then
I
Jax
like talking
rides
about
in.
Anything being expensive. It's so like, it's so
like
uncouth.
I like what they spend their money on.
Yeah.
And then I want them to do that and like say
and
expensive.
Talk about it.
Like if at girls' night, if Kristen is like, I spent $1,000 on this dress, that would have made it interesting.
Oh, totally. Like we need the fucking
I need the details.
The sausage. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I need
the
trolls.
Like, yeah.
Are they just giving or have they wised up to like not giving the post-production people things to troll them with, like, or did they hire a
Impossible.
New post-production team and say like,
we're
this
stars
season,
now we're in
they're
Vogue
stars
now.
So we need to be respectful,
we're brands now,
like what is happening?
And it's like, if that's really what's gonna happen, you better bring in that second tier crew and troll the fuck out of them.
Yeah, someone
like,
needs to get trolled,
you know. So we need to see someone just be,
because they're trying to make it seem like these people are organically like funny and silly. Like when Katie was pushing like the blender and Tom was like, my head, Bubba, and then she like smirks and pushes it again, it's like, that's not comedy. And whoever thought that that was comedy needs to go to some sketch comedy training and get on an Ariana level.
they should pay you.
Yeah, like hire me as the comedy consultant for this show. Like, I wish I could be in the edit bay, because this was, like, not okay.
And I think,
like, there's no
like
quality
they're gonna
control.
They're going to really alienate their fan base, because I feel like they have this too much of an awareness of maybe now they're really having clung to this idea that lots of people who have are very talented themselves or whatever, like, obviously, like, us, like, love their show.
Yeah.
And it's, like, in some ways they're wanting to bypass the waiter reality show of it all and just become like their own Real Housewives Shaws of Sunset vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But even though Shaws of Sunset has a lot of humor and editing trolls that they all know, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like a funnier show.
I'm also like, I want to know on like social media, like you guys, the readers, I need my readers to weigh in and like, are we like off base here? Are we on base? Like, I need some like confirmation of the...
The readers seem to be more critical than we are.
Really?
Even. I mean, I don't know about this episode, but because I watched the first episode and I was sobbing, crying for Jax and Brittany. And it was so funny hearing you talk to Nomi about it and you come off so like cynical, and she's trying to like defend, like she's not trying to defend, but she's just sharing her experience, but then she basically has no words to describe why she would be emotional, crying at that, but like, I'm like, love like that's the only reason you would be crying about it. But I don't know. So, and then when I looked at the group on Facebook, I was like, oh wow, there's all sorts of angles being explored here that weren't, I mean, not to say that I wasn't thinking some of it, but I love the dedication.
Yeah, you love their love. You love love. Maybe I'm just a bitter Betty.
I love the love of anyone, and I love the dedication of your readers.
Yeah, I love it too. So yeah, fake or not fake, help me.
Yeah.
Help me make sense of this world that I've signed up
what
for.
Are we watching?
And that has become such a huge part of my life.
Right.
Brittany invited Raquel to girls' night.
Stupid.
And she says, I know what it's like to smile through it all and really be dying inside. And I was like, same.
I could not deal when Raquel is being like, he never speaks to me like that.
She says, he treats me like a queen.
Except
when he's drunk.
I know. It's so creepy.
Yeah. It's like Raquel needs to get a clue. Katie's pissed. She can't even handle Raquel being there, and she and the other witches
we have to go to the bathroom.
They have to go to the bathroom, and they really just go to a bar.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, like this is you're like mad at like a 23-year-old.
Yeah, little girl.
And then Katie has a moment
but
where
do
Raquel
you think they're
sits
mad at
down.
Brittany for inviting her.
I don't think anyone can get mad at Brittany because she's now like the queen bee of the show.
Yeah, which is sort of bullshit, right?
Yeah, like Brittany.
But once again, that power.
The power. She has the power. She has
usurped.
The ring. She has the biggest diamond out of all of them. She's going to have a bigger wedding than Tom and Katie did. She is a man who's the alpha of the group, essentially.
Yeah.
Like Brittany is now calling
it is,
the shots.
It's Brittany's show.
It's Brittany's show and Brittany's world, and we're all just living in it. And that means that Brittany gets to say and do whatever she wants with like no real honoring of the fact that like 1 year ago this was your life.
Yeah. And it's like it is all it's like she is acknowledging that, but in the most weird way.
In a brush off way. And yeah. Acknowledging it because she can't not acknowledge it, otherwise it would be truly insane. But it's also like, let's just like walk it back and like relive like what exactly went down, like
the videos or like
the audio the like old woman caretaker situation.
I one time did drugs and stuff in a hospice room too.
Really? Whoa.
At Coachella.
At like Coachella in Palm like, Springs? In a hospice in Palm Springs, well, you partied?
Someone was like, oh, we could stay at my family's like place, but they didn't say that the family member was on hospice.
In their home.
Mm-hmm. But then we were having fun and stuff, but like we would just walk into the room and be like, whoa.
With the hospice person there. Uh-huh. God, I hope I don't die like that.
I was watching that, or like I was like filling someone in. And I was like, yeah.
I want to know from other people, like, have you partied or fucked around like a hospice patient? Like, because I feel like now that I know two people in this world that have, there's more.
For the record, yeah. I mean, I think it was the second time going to Coachella, and I was like 17 years old. And the person that brought me there was somebody who was pretending to be much younger, mm-hmm. who was like in her 30s, but was pretending to be like my 22-year-old friend.
Wow. Who came just as for the accommodations?
Whose hospice it was, or who had invited us to the hospice. But then imagine collecting three random friends to all go party. Like all the people that were there with her weren't people who knew each other.
Yeah. And then being like, we're partying at my place.
Not even saying, yeah, not.
And then just there happens to be.
A no, fact but that's of the thing situation.
With faith, too, where I'm like, imagine being like sexting with someone and getting just like so horned up and being like, come over, like, get over here right now, big boy. And then they walk in the door and it's just like someone's on life support in the corner. But you're like just so horny, you just gotta fuck it out anyways.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's a wild need to party on that your friend's part, and a wild need to fuck on Jack and Pace.
Pretty cool.
Jack's and Pace part.
I wanted
to. So who else?
Yeah.
Who else has been so desperate to party and fuck that you did it around someone that's transitioning over to the other side?
Oh my God.
Write me. Raquel says that no one sees the James she sees. Blah, blah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, ugh.
Katie feels like she's, quote, living in a twilight zone where monsters are able to say and do whatever the fuck they want.
So overwrought.
And I go, guess what? You are. Yeah. It's called Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. That's literally the log line
that
of the show.
Is
a twilight zone where monsters are able to say and do whatever the fuck they want. And Katie decides that she's going to narc James out to Lisa and give an ultimatum.
Yeah, because the last one worked.
Yeah.
I don't want to. If I'm down to get married, and I would never do an ultimatum.
No, if you have to get married off an ultimatum, you probably shouldn't have gotten married.
You know what I mean?
Is my thought. I'm not into being like, you either do this. I mean, in some situations, I think...
You understand the practicality of that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I believe in, like, ultimatums in terms of, like, interventions and addiction talks and being like, if you use, I'm not going to be in your life anymore. That's, like, an ultimatum.
If you use, we can no longer get married.
Yeah. But not being like, you have 6 months to put a ring on it.
No, it's like, so
annoying. I would actually rather kill myself than say that to someone.
No. But also, I mean, in terms of saying it to Lisa, it's like, I understand. I actually am pro. I'm pro, like, that. I'm pro her being like, he's not allowed to talk to me this way at work.
Yeah, I like setting that boundary.
But given the world of the show, it is a bit like...
Are we supposed to believe that you, Katie Maloney Schwartz, receive a majority of your income off of going into work at Sir?
That's what I'm saying.
Multiple days a week.
Yeah. It's
and that
like,
an ultimatum that you say you're no longer going to work at this restaurant if James is there.
It's a matter of work, a job or not. Like,
yeah.
This
it's like, come on. Who is buying that?
No, I don't.
And like, what producer is like, yeah, like, let's make this the storyline. Like, come on.
When I mean, they need to just.
I feel betrayed.
Yeah,
I feel betrayed. I can't work on the show because it
of
would
your
be
ethical
like
boundaries.
My ethical boundaries, and because also it's like the Grove. Like, I love the Grove, and I want to go there all the
you
time, but
there.
I never want to work there because that would take the joy out of it for me.
I've been really wanting to go to the Grove.
I know. Maybe we'll go
time of year.
Yeah, it's that magical time of year where we
I like to
simply
go to
must
white
take
chocolate
to the Grove.
Donut at the farmer's market.
I know. I want to go to like. I really am craving to go to Monsieur Marcel at the farmer's market.
Oh,
that French.
There. We love
last night
together.
I was like, once I get done working, maybe I'll just go to Monsieur Marcel and have a cheese plate alone. And then I was like, I'm not doing that.
You're like, I could do it, but I'm not.
Yeah, I can do anything
going,
I want.
I went to Harry Potter World and was like, I should come back here alone. And I was like, why am I like that?
I know. It's always like, I don't hate on doing things alone.
No.
I think it's cool, but there's some stuff where it's just like, okay,
why do I fantasize about doing it more than I do it anyway?
I know, like last night I was driving and the sunset looked kind of pretty and I was like, maybe I'll just go to a cliff alone and like watch the sunset. And then I was like, I have to like drop my, I have errands to run.
Yeah, like, you were like,
shut
bitch,
up,
get a grip.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go walk sweat up, like, a hill at Griffith Park.
Like, there probably won't be parking.
Yeah, I was like, no. Keep your eyes on the road. I like Lisa yelling at any sort of staff at Sir. She goes, what's a special? And he goes, striped bass. And she goes, striped bass. She goes, is it fattening or not?
He's like, what is he supposed to say to that?
Because Katie needs some. That's what I'm trying to
she's
say.
She's like, I'm having lunch with Katie. Is it fattening or not? Because she's triggered. I like Lisa going, I'm scared. Katie sits down. She goes, hello, Lisa. And she's, I'm scared. Why should I be? Why am I terrified right now? It's like, you bitches, like, what is this drama?
I don't know.
This is non-drama.
It's non-drama.
And I'm here for, like, a non-drama, like, Hill-style moment. Non-drama
should be comedy.
But it should be comedy. And this is, like, truly, it's, like, pulling out eyelashes. It's torture.
I don't know. I don't want to take time away from a really important subject that we're probably broaching. But, like, I just want to say that I went to high school with Jax's main man crush from the Goldberg sitcom, and Instagram deep diving that journey was just really rewarding for me as a pump head.
I love that. I love that Jax's love for multicam sitcoms.
It's keeping the industry alive.
It is. Like, he single-handedly is propping up
sitcoms almost as much as he loves hockey.
Yeah. Jax is, like, almost refreshingly basic in that way, where it's, like, a different type of bro basic.
I kind of like some of that stuff, yeah.
I like it, too, because, like, there was one point when he rode into Guy's Night on a stupid, like, scooter thing, and I caught a glimpse of his shoes, and I was like, oh, my God, is he wearing Yeezys? And for a second, I was so thrown, and I, like, kind of short-circuited. Then I rewound, and he wasn't. He was just wearing, like, random Adidas shoes.
But you don't want to see him in some... I felt like that even when he was talking about buying James Supreme boxers. I was like,
yeah,
what are you even doing around Supreme?
Because he wore those, like, knockoff Supreme sweatpants one season. But, like, he's just the kind of guy that's, like, he's just here to, like, not really take fashion risks. And he's, like, here to watch, like, multicam sitcoms and think about hockey all the time.
But that's, like, I mean, and some people probably relate and even feel ashamed to it, but that's what can be really relaxing about a certain type of archetypal masculinity.
Yeah. I mean, I like to watch someone that likes that, because, like, I so don't like any of that stuff that it's probably, like, someone that meets me who, like, doesn't like any reality TV, and then I tell them how obsessed I am with Vanderpump Rules, and they're probably like, freak. But that's how I feel about someone that likes multicam sitcoms and hockey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm available to ride on any multicam sitcom in the world. And but I was telling my uncle, who's like, whatever, he doesn't need a bio, but I was telling him about this podcast recently, I don't know, a few months ago, and I just felt, and then I thought his reaction, because he's like a nerd, like a media nerd, I thought that he would, like, I think of him as such an ultimate fanboy, that I thought he would have a lot of love for what you're up to here.
Yeah.
And he was, like, such an asshole to me about it, and I was like, fuck you, motherfucker, you don't even know how to go on a podcast, you don't even know how to open the app.
God. Well, like, you know what, your uncle isn't my target demo, so.
No, and also, but that's, people have an attitude about Vanderpump as being, like, a lowbrow thing, and it needs to stick that to being a lowbrow thing.
Yeah. And it's like, it is, like, such, it's a mirror to our culture and, like, the time that we're living in. It's like, it's such a beautiful, like, almost like a time capsule moment, like, where I believe that this show, at least certain seasons of it, maybe not this season.
I was going to say, I think it's more past.
Yeah, will be remembered as, like, a golden age of something. I don't know what it is, because we're still so close to it. But, like, I need it to stay that. Like, what does it mean? I'm like, what does it mean about my life and who I am if this show starts to just, like, suck ass?
Yeah. Gotta get a new show.
This
isn't the end.
This isn't the end, but I get just frustrated, and it causes a lot of existential questions.
I can imagine, because it's basically like being in a relationship that just turned on you.
Yeah. It's like, I watched the episode the first time yesterday, and I was like, by the end of it, I was like, this sucks. And then I had to watch it again today to take notes, and I was like, I hate this. And it started to feel like, this has never felt like a job until that moment. And then I was like,
You're like, I'm a beat term. Reporter and here.
Yeah, here we are again. Like, can I get a quote from you? Okay. Lisa says, I don't like anything that makes a woman feel less about herself. Which I'm like, I could think off the top of my head at like 10 things.
Examples.
Yeah. And then we get a huge to be continued cliffhanger moment of like, what will
Why
happen?
Did they make
and
it
it's
a
like,
cliffhanger?
This
again,
is not.
Did the editor change?
I think it did. Something has shifted and it's not okay. And I need some justice now and I need some trolls.
It's funny because like Andy Cohen doesn't have any sort of production control on this show, right? But then it's like, I just think of people like him being one of many people at Bravo who have such an understanding of like the how they build all these different dramas. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, how could this be the best you've got for this group right now?
Yeah. This episode gets a D minus.
Yeah.
It had like maybe five lols in total and then a to be continued troll on the viewer, which is off brand.
About something that, hey, guess what? He's not going to get to work there.
Yeah,
like,
he gets fired, which you just showed us in the next next time on Vanderpump like, Rules. He goes, Lisa,
and he's
please.
Crying. So it's like, I'm pretty sure we get it.
Yeah, like, okay. And moving on, who gives a shit? Like, that is not what I came here for.
Oh my God.
So let's demand justice. Let's pray to the gods and goddesses.
That something happens.
That something
give us
happens.
Lala.
Yeah, give us Lala. Maybe Teddy's brother is going to be a real
I
wild card.
I think there's something interesting there. Meg Ryan knows that man, so there must be something interesting.
She's
there.
Married to him now.
I know, but to like the brother.
Oh. I thought you meant John.
She knows him biblically.
She knows him now. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, maybe this like Mellencamp brother will be the dark horse that saves
Teddy
us.
Teddy Mellencamp is such a fucking workhorse. Like, she was on Flipping Out too with Jeff Lewis.
Yeah.
She'll go on any Bravo show.
Do you get free shit though if you go on Flipping Out?
Well, she was just there making them be accountable.
Oh, wow.
But I did watch Lala and Rand on Flipping Out.
How was it?
Jeff was like forming an alliance with Lala and they had better taste than Rand, who was like sort of coming in cheap. I don't know if it was sort of to counter the narrative that he's like a sugar daddy, but it seems like they enjoy a really rich quality of life. So for him to be so cheap about the home stuff, it was like,
it's like,
But then it was funny because then he did make a number of nice modifications to the interior of his home with Jeff's help, but the roof on his large property is very sort of ugly. It's just more so outdated. It's very like vacation home in the desert, like thick Spanish but cheap roof. And so that's the next thing that they think really needs to change, because Jeff's telling Lala, hey, it looks really good here, but the first thing you see is the roof. It looks like shit.
Is Lala moving into Rand's house?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're making some house. Changes and it's going to be their house now. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, please keep me posted. Thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
My beautiful guest on this episode of Sup.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome back anytime,
ooh,
obviously.
Please save me for something, Lala, or for travel.
Yeah, travel
love
and Lala.
Abroad.
I'll take note. And tell all the readers where they can find you.
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at tstar7. And that's about it. You can read my new short story called Reseda, where Sheena hangs out in the new issue of Dazed and Confused. So there's that too.
Look it up. Follow her. Throw her some likes.
Please.
Thank you for listening. And
we're going to
Tom Tom. Bye.
I know, I'm feeling. Cause I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.